You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
FS Degen Nation, back again with another week. We are on to week two. Week one was, you know, a little rough. I think we got some things right, but, you know, we didn't get some of the involvement from the other sides on some of these games. But it, regardless of that, we are a forward-thinking podcast here, and so it is on to week two. Back again with Maddie, as always. You can find him on Twitter, at MaddieDFS. How's it going tonight?
It's going good, man. We got a little bit of a tight game here on Thursday Night Football between the Giants and Washington. So trying to keep an eye on that as we go through this. But yeah, week one was an interesting one. I don't know what would you call the biggest shock for you. For me, it was definitely Brandon Ayuk, you know, not even sniffing a target and playing less than 50% of the snaps. And apparently he was dealing with a hamstring injury that we didn't know, you know, was going to hamper him that severely. You know, he had returned to a full practice earlier in the week, and there wasn't any indication that he was going to be playing behind Trent Sherfield. So that was definitely a shock to me, but excited to bounce back for a fun week two slate.
For sure. I mean, there was a couple down moments, you know, mainly because I had a lot of, you know, Tennessee and Arizona stacks, which the one side worked out, the other one did not. And then I had a lot of exposure to that Green Bay game. A lot of Aaron Jones, a lot of Aaron Rodgers, and that I did not see that coming. And I don't care. There is no way in hell if you would have told me that Jameis Winston would have thrown 14 for 20 for like 180 yards, that he would have five touchdowns, I would laugh at you. But that is exactly the way that it turned out. A wild, wild game. But, you know, it's week one, so it is so unpredictable. That's why we always talk about, you know, going light, not playing heavy. And so, anyways, without further ado, are you ready? Let's jump into it. Let's just get straight to week two.
Sure.
All right. So this week is a little bit, you know, so that we don't have Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs on this slate. So that kind of makes things a little bit more interesting whenever they are off the slate. So we don't have to worry about Travis Kelce or Mahomes or Tyreek Hill this week, as well as Lamar Jackson, because they are the Sunday night game. And then we have the Monday night game, which is the Packers and the Lions, which, you know, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers will go off this week, but we can talk about that for Showdown and the Discord. Anyways, so this week, in terms of pricing, you have Kyler Murray as the highest priced quarterback at 8,200. Then the next, that's the only 8K. And then Russell Wilson, 7,500. Josh Allen, 7,200. 6,900 is Tom Brady, which doesn't make sense against Atlanta, especially the poor ones. They just come off of, I don't understand that. Dak Prescott's only 6,800. Herbert, 6,700, which that game in itself has like a 55.5 point over under, which that is going to be where all the chalk comes from. Everybody's going to want to play that game, which I get. But I think there's some leverage off that game as well that we can talk about. But from there, you have Jalen Hurts at 6,500, Stafford at 6,400, Tannehill at 6,300, Kirk Cousins at 62, Jameis at 6,61, Mayfield at 6,000. Trevor Lawrence 6,000, and you know, after that. So, Maddie, let's start with you. Where are you coming in this week?
So, I'm going to start it off with somebody that you probably didn't expect me to talk about. And maybe you would because of the team that they're playing against. But I want to talk about the Minnesota pass game for a second. So if we look at situation neutral plays from last week, you know, filtering within one score games, Minnesota checks in at sixth highest pass rate last week at 72%. And that's across 39 attempts. So it's not like, you know, it was just, you know, they were playing from behind or whatever the whole game. You know, they made a conscious effort to throw the football and play at a decent pace this week or last week with a new offensive coordinator there. So that's, you know, very encouraging for me to want to stack up a Minnesota pass game going against Arizona. And I know everybody's going to want to look to Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins right off the bat, and that's probably going to be a very popular stack. And I think you can get a ton of leverage just by playing the other side of the game. And you can even play Hopkins in that stack despite him being popular because nobody's going to play Kirk Cousins. And you can honestly run both Thielen and Jefferson together if you want, because I mean those two guys are that entire pass game offense. I mean, KJ Osborne, we can talk about him a little bit when we get to wide receiver. I think he's in play at 3,100 to go with that stack. But I mean, they're without Irv Smith at tight end. They're not really going to feature, you know, the tight ends that they have on the roster. So it really is going to be a concentrated Jefferson Thielen. And this is the same exact matchup we talked about last week with Tennessee, talking about, you know, how Arizona doesn't really have any corners to cover anybody. Tennessee, you know, they just didn't look right because they're not, I don't think they themselves have a new offensive coordinator and they just didn't look right. You know, they got away from play action and Julio really hadn't had much time in camp because of injuries with Tannehill. So that offense is just way out of sync. So I wouldn't be sitting here saying that the Arizona's got one of the top defenses in the NFL. Cause that's not necessarily true. I just think Tennessee was more out of whack than anything there. So definitely really like loading up Kirk Cousins with Thielen and Jefferson for a low owned stack on the opposite side of one of the highest totals of the week. Outside of that, yeah, it's really hard to get off of the Chargers and Cowboys. I mean, you've got those two big injuries, Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence for Cowboys, and they're not going to really be able to get pressure on the quarterback. And we saw, even with the Chargers against a good Washington front last week, they only allowed Herbert to be pressured 5% of the time. So, you know, they made conscious efforts to upgrade their offensive line in the offseason, and they did just that, and they kept him clean the entire game against a good front seven. So with a banged-up Cowboys pass rush, I expect them to be able to do the same. Herbert should be able to do whatever he wants. And on the other side, I mean – it's Dak, right? Like he's gonna throw for a lot of attempts and a lot of yards, assuming that the Chargers are putting up a lot of points on the other side. So that game's going to be popular. I just, you know, try to figure out a way to be different with it if you can. Like if the field's going Herbert and running it back with Zeke on the other side, maybe you go Dak and run it back with Eckler on the other side as opposed to Keenan Allen, and be different that way and try to get exposure to the shootout in that regard. So I definitely like that. And outside of that, I haven't really decided where I'm going to go for my third QB. Russell Wilson's definitely interesting at home against Tennessee. And the other guy that I have interest in is Jalen Hurts against San Francisco. I mean, we saw Jared Goff be able to march down the field multiple times against that San Francisco defense. Quite frankly, I just don't think they're fully healthy right now and you know, a top unit in the NFL. And we saw how good the Eagles looked despite playing Atlanta. The Eagles looked pretty good this past Sunday. So anytime you give me a rushing QB like Jalen Hurts, I'm definitely in. I think people are going to be very much off of him because they see San Francisco on there. But, you know, San Francisco giving up 33 points to that lowly, lowly Detroit offense has me very intrigued about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I don't mind that. With Jalen Hurts, I mean, anytime that you're going to be able to get the type of rushing opportunity that he has, he is always in play. And I mean, I don't really think they had to do a whole lot. The only concern that I, not even a concern, but is the fact that they ended up I mean, I think his average depth of target was extremely low. I think
which they is had, good. Yeah, I prefer that for him.
And, yeah. So they didn't really take any deep shots, but they didn't really need to either in that game. I mean, they pretty much controlled that game from the jump. And so, I mean, the Philadelphia offense looked really good. But I don't ever mind playing him. For me, I definitely – I mean, Russell Wilson is 1,000% in play, 7,500. They're the third highest implied point total this week against a really bad Tennessee offense. I do think the Tennessee – or excuse me, a Tennessee defense. But I think Tennessee kind of gets things a little bit back on track this week because they just got boat raced last week. I mean, they made – The Arizona defense look fantastic, which was good for me because I played a lot of Arizona defense, mainly just because they were 2,100.
I
knew that they had Chandler Jones, some of the passers they have if they get to the quarterback, but I was not expecting that. And so I love Russ. Russ didn't really need to open it up too much last week either. They hit on some deep plays to Tyler Lockett, but you know, that offense, they didn't really have to do a ton, but I like it's at home. So I do like Seattle quite a bit. You know, Russell Wilson at 7,500. And then, you know, I'm not going to talk about this game because it's obvious. Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, you know, I think both of them are going to be probably 1 and 2 in terms of ownership, I would think. Or at least they're going to be pretty close in the top five, I would think, in ownership. Everybody's going to want to play this game because it has the potential to go nuclear. And it's also inside of a dome, you know, with playing, you know, with the Chargers, you know, at SoFi Stadium. So for me, I want to talk about a few other guys that I think people aren't going to be on. One of them is I have some interest in Ben Roethlisberger this week. They have the ninth highest implied point total this week. I know that offense, especially in the first half, didn't really look good. But the Raiders defense, especially their secondary, doesn't really worry me all that much. Right. And so I do feel like that with this is a way you can get a little bit different. You can, you know, they have a lot of, whether you want to play him with Deontay or whether you want to play him with, you know, Chase Claypool, I think you could definitely do that. But I just think this offense probably takes another step forward this week. They did throw the ball more than I expected. And so I do like that as well. And so while I do think the Raiders front is definitely much improved with adding Ngakoue and everything else, they were able to get to the quarterback. But this is just a little bit different of a game. In terms of that. And so I think you probably see a lot of targets go to Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool. And so I do like this. I mean, like I said, they have the ninth highest implied point total this week. And so I do like Ben Roethlisberger a little bit as kind of a to get a little bit different. And then I like Sam Darnold. Again, played really well last week and he was cheap. He's still cheap this week. He's only 5,200. I know people are going to see that first next to the Saints, but the Saints have a bunch of injuries. They lost even more pieces on that defense. Marshawn Lattimore is hurt. And then I can't think of the other guy who's also hurt as well. And so that's just more injuries to this defense. I think DJ Moore can absolutely expose that secondary. And I don't mind, you know, if you want to stack him with Terrace Marshall. I mean, Terrace Marshall was second on the team in routes run per targets. And so I like Terrace Marshall as well. And so I think it's a really cheap stack if you want to pay up for running back. And because I, you know, we'll get over there to it in a second, but there's a lot of guys at running back that are high priced that I definitely want to try to jam in. We have to always try to, you know, jam in Christian McCaffrey. Cause I believe over the past, it's either the past 2 or 3 years, he has never been on a given week less or lower than RB8 on a week. That is insane to me. Not 1 week has he been that he's played, you know, the full game, has he not been RB or at least RB8 or better.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, yeah. you just play the guy. He scored 30 points last week without scoring any touchdowns.
Absolutely.
And he's not the highest owned running back every week either because everybody sees 9.9K or 9.5K last week. And they're like, oh, I'm just going to play Dalvin Cook for 400 less or Kamara for, you know, 1,000 less. And they don't – like, would Kamara score, like, 12 points or something? Like, and I know that was a blowout, but he got 80 yards and a touchdown, and he wasn't involved in the pass game at all. Meanwhile, the Panthers are blowing out the Jets, and McCaffrey's still almost going for the double 100-yard bonus. It's just ridiculous, dude. His usage, like 30 touches, it's unreal. It is simply unreal. I don't know if we've had a fantasy asset like McCaffrey before.
He is safe, but he also has the highest.
He's got upside. Yep.
So.
Like if he scores 2 touchdowns against the Jets, he's up to almost 45 points. And, you know, we're sitting here saying, oh, McCaffrey's going to once again be the highest running back. highest owned running back on the slate, but that's not, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's going to come in lower owned than he should, as always, because of, he's near 10K.
Yeah, and I think some of it's due to because of what that people are going to want to play, right? I mean, everybody's going to gravitate towards Prescott or Herbert or Kyler Murray, and then their pieces are really expensive as well. So it's going to be tough to be able to fit him in if that's the direction you want to go. And so I think if you can get a little bit different and slide down to somebody like even like Ryan Tannehill, which you talked about at 6,300, somebody like that or Kirk Cousins at 6,200, I think it opens up a little bit more and makes you allows you to be a little bit different. I still want pieces from that game, no doubt, like from that the Dallas game. But I think you can do that and get a little bit different, maybe whether it's Mike Williams or something like that, or you know, some other piece, Jared Cook. I think there's some different ways that you can get a little bit different here and still get exposure to that game as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you can hover in the low 6 to mid 6K range at quarterback this week and be completely fine, assuming you're jamming in McCaffrey too. Because, there's Stafford's down in that range too, who we didn't even mention. He's going up against the Colts, who just got shredded by Russell Wilson. So he's definitely in play on a high-volume pass offense that's not going to lean on Daryl Henderson and Sonny Michel. So I definitely think Stafford's in play too, even though we haven't mentioned him. I agree. I think, this is a good week to pay down to, the low 6K range for quarterback and fit in as many pieces from the other games as you can. Because I do think Kyler Murray is going to bring in some ownership up there, up at the top, and so is Russ should too after his week last week. So it's going to, it's going to be a different build paying down at quarterback a little bit, especially with Dak and Herbert up there too. Getting a lot of the ownership. So you can have a different build inherently just by paying down a quarterback a little bit this week. So I definitely like going that route. And that's probably going to end up on, the Hurts, Cousins, Stafford, and or one of Herbert or Dak this week is where I think I'm going to end up landing.
It's going to be hard to get away from that. Do you have any interest in Baker, or are you staying completely away from it because they're probably just going to run the ball and just run it down the Texans' throat? As of right now, the Browns have the second highest implied point total, only behind the Buccaneers, and
this is kind of a good segue into running back too. My issue with the Browns is they've got two main pieces this week on offense with OBJ already being ruled out. It's going to be Chubb and it's going to be Landry, and those two guys I'm expecting to be rather popular because they're playing Houston. People are going to say, oh, well, there's no other wide receivers other than Jarvis Landry. He's going to be popular. And obviously Nick Chubb, the whole stat around Nick Chubb being a heavy favorite in Vegas, per the sports books, he scores the most DK points that he's ever scored when he's favored by, a certain amount of points. And this is the biggest he's ever been favored. So there's just a lot of Nick Chubb love going around already. And he has to go for pretty much 3 touchdowns or 200 yards to absolutely burn me, because he's not going to get a ton of pass game involvement because Kareem Hunt's still there. Kareem Hunt still mixes in. And just with all that long-winded to say, the Browns are going to carry too much ownership than what I'm comfortable loading up on them to play them at. I'd rather play a lower owned like Minnesota stack against Arizona.
Well, I with that being said, why don't we just jump over to running back? Is there any other quarterbacks you want to talk about?
No, I touched on the guys that I'm focused on this week. It's going to be a very narrow pool. I think that, there's a handful of games we can attack through the past games, but I'm pretty narrowed down. Those are the guys that I'm at.
Okay, so then let's just jump over to the running backs, as we've, kind of hinted at already with Christian McCaffrey's 9,900. I still don't understand why he's not over 10K, but regardless, he will be there soon enough. Dalvin Cook is at 9,100, Alvin Kamara at 8,800, Derrick Henry at 8,300, Nick Chubb, 7,800, Austin Eckler. Mr. Austin Eckler getting goal line carries for the first time in his career. Had, I think, 4 goal line carries last year, which, last year I think he only had 1 in all of the season. So that is encouraging. Didn't have any targets, but I think that'll definitely change in a game like this. Jonathan Taylor is 7,200. Joe Mixon came out and smashed last week. I think he had 25 or 28, something like that last week. DK points, only 7K. Miles Sanders, 6,900. James Robinson, 6,400. Najee Harris is 6,300, which to me is way too cheap. 6,200. David Montgomery, 6,100. And then Chris Carson is 6,100, and Josh Jacobs, who's questionable again, is 6K. So talk to me about running backs and which ones that you are most interested in.
So I talked about Chubb. I'm probably not going to play Chubb, and it's not because he's a bad play. Obviously, you can play running backs against Houston. I just think he's going to carry too much ownership with some risk that, you know, the points just get scored elsewhere, whether it's Kareem Hunt vulturing him or whatever, Baker throwing it to Landry or somebody random like Schwartz, you know, because the Browns can't spread the ball around. But I'm playing McCaffrey at the top. I don't care that he's 9,900. And I don't care about the matchup against New Orleans. We talked about this last week. I'm not going to let 1 week of Green Bay no-showing against them change my mind that the New Orleans defense is going to be worse than it has been, especially against running backs. So until we see them play good for consistently for a handful of weeks, I'm just using the personnel that they have as a guide for that. That defense just isn't going to be very good. I just think, you know, Green Bay, with all the distraction in the offseason, they just no-showed, basically. So I'm just chalking it up to that. Going to have a ton of McCaffrey. I like Eckler a lot as a pivot off of the obvious pass game pieces in Dallas and the Chargers. And the same thing can be said for Zeke on the other side of that game. You know, a game where two guys are going to get all of the red zone usage for either team in a game that's going to be stacked heavily through the air. I think those are really good leverage plays for teams where you're not using those passing attacks. I like Jonathan Taylor, assuming his offensive line is healthy. They're dealing with some injuries this week, so definitely need to keep an eye on that. But he would be my run back if playing Stafford. He had a ton of touches and tied Hines with targets last week in a game that they were trailing pretty much the entire game. So that is very encouraging usage for JT. I'm not sure I'm going to end up on Montgomery despite Walido cheering for him in chat. I'd rather pivot to Allen Robinson on that team, which we can talk about when we get to wide receiver. But I think Montgomery at 6,100 after, you know, running all over the Rams on primetime, he's going to get some ownership. And then I really like Najee Harris for a bounce back candidate. I think he might pick up a little more steam this week. Last week he was really unowned. I think he's going to be a bit more popular, considering the fact that he did not come off the field. But that's why I like him this week against Las Vegas, is he will not come off the field. And I think his pass game usage is going to be more than the three targets he saw last week as well. So you've got a lot of guys, again, outside of below McCaffrey, like you've got a lot of guys in the 6K range. Again, same with quarterbacks. 6K range is very, very sweet for the running back position. And then if you go even a little bit below that, there's a guy at $5,400 that might be my favorite running back play on the slate. And despite this being a PPR site, I absolutely love Damian Harris this week at $5,400. We know Bill Belichick does not let rookie quarterbacks do anything against him. And Zach Wilson is in for a rude awakening against that Patriots defense. And also Mekhi Becton is out for the Jets for 6 to 8 weeks on that offensive line. So I'm anticipating the Jets to not be able to put up points, and I'm anticipating Damian Harris to run all over that Jets defense. And I think you're looking at 125 yards and 2 to 3 touchdown upside there for, you know, almost 30 DraftKings points without catching any passes. So I really like Damian Harris this week as a pivot off of a lot of those guys who might end up popular in that 6K range.
Yeah, so I think for me, I think it's come in, you know, not including the obvious names. I think one, it starts for me. I'm going to talk about Miles Sanders, who's only 6,900, right? If you look at it, Adam last week, you know, ended up with 15 carries, also had 5 targets. He was 13th in weighted opportunities. You know, his 17.3 was 12th among all running backs last week. He rushed for 74 yards, 39 receiving yards on 4 receptions. Did not find the end zone. Some other things I was he had a 3.90 yards per route run, which is 4th among all running backs. He was 11th in target share and 7th in yards per reception last week against the Falcons. And you know, this, we just saw this Lions just ferocious rushing attack just carve up this 49er defense, right? And so I think for me, like, it's it, I'm looking at this and I'm saying that I think this is a matchup he could definitely exploit. And when you have Jalen Hurts on the field, we kind of saw it last year too with Miles Sanders, that he kind of opens things up for Miles Sanders, because you're not just going to be able to focus on Miles Sanders because of the fact with the threat of Jalen Hurts always touching the ball. And so it was a really good start for Miles Sanders. And 6,900, I think he's a little bit of a leverage play off some of these guys, like even a Nick Chubb that's a little bit higher than he is, and stuff like, and players like that, or even a Joe Mixon who's 7K that people are going to want to jam in as well, right? And so I like Miles Sanders at 6,900. I like that price. I think he's going to get most of the opportunities. I know Kenneth Gainwell is going to be involved as well, but you know, five targets. If he can maintain that and get 5 to 6 targets a game, I am perfectly okay with that. And I think he makes for a really good play this week against the 49ers. And then I completely agree with Najee Harris. If you can get a running back at $6,300 who is not going to come off the field, who's going to get play 100% of the snaps, you just can't pass that up, right? And it was a terrible game last week for him. Only had like 4.5, I think, DK points, something like that. But or 5.9, excuse me. But I don't care. Against this Raiders defense, you can run against this defense. And so I like Najee Harris at $6,300. Now, there's one other guy that I also wanted to hit on as well, and that is Daryl Henderson. And last week, I was very surprised at the usage that he saw last week. Played 96% of the snaps. He was second only to Najee Harris's 100%. He also received 94% of the opportunities in that backfield, just second. 11th in carries. He did only see one target, so that is something to monitor. But rushed 70 yards, 15.7 DK points last week, right? And so if you could get a running back at his price, right, they did not move him up drastically. He is still cheap. He's only 5,700. And, again, if you can get a running back at that cost, I have no problem going there with him as somebody who's going to have. Now, do I think that is going to maintain where he's going to be getting 96% of the opportunities? No. But if you go back and look at Sean McVay prior to last year, that's kind of what he wants. He wants that workhorse back. That's what he did with Todd Gurley, and I think that's a lot of what you're going to see with Daryl Henderson moving forward. Now, I don't think he's going to get the same kind of target share that Todd Gurley got, but I do think while he is still in this 5K range against an indie defense that was just thrashed by Chris Carson a week ago, like, so I just don't have any problem with that. And Sonny Michel only had, I think, one snap, I think, or one carry last week. No, Walido, you are 100% wrong. Sonny Michel is not going to be involved this week. You know why? Because Sonny Michel fucking sucks, okay? And so Sonny Michel is not going to be involved. I know you hate Daryl Henderson, but follow the touches. Don't follow your take lock bias, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Love you, Walido. Anyways, so 5,700. I like me some Daryl Henderson.
Yeah, he's definitely in play. That Colts defense didn't look great last week against Seattle. And the Rams offense is going to be good all year. And you have to respect Stafford in the past. And you know, that just – that Rams offense has always been able to run the ball because of the scheme. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to see, what, probably 18 to 20 touches in this one. He saw 17 last week. So 5,700, 18 touches, that's pretty good. I'm definitely on board with that. There's two burning questions that I want to get your opinion on. The first one being the obvious question, the elephant in the room. You know, the hottest running back on waivers this week. Mostert's out for the year. Elijah Mitchell sits at 5K. Trey Sermon's obviously going to be active this week. Are you touching the San Francisco backfield against Philly? Or do you think that, you know, these guys are going to gain – Elijah Mitchell especially is going to gain steam to where you want no part of it?
So I don't mind playing. It's going to be ownership-based. If he has somehow gained steam this week because of his price, because of what he did last week, depending on where he comes in, because I think that's the most important part of it, of the equation anyways. If he's going to be unowned, I would have interest in him at 5K, yes. I think this rushing attack is one of the best of the league. It is the scheme. And I know that Trey Sermon is going to be active this week. He's not going to be a healthy scratch again this week. That's not going to happen. But I think that he is going to get enough opportunities. I think you could probably figure he gets 15 to 17 touches total in this game. And so I don't know how you can't have some sort of interest in that at 5K. He was not utilized as a pass catcher last week, but I think that changes. He was a capable pass catcher in college. He usually had around 20 receptions a season. And so he's not like, you know, he's not a Christian McCaffrey or a DeAndre Swift where he's going to catch a bunch of balls. But I do think he's a capable pass catcher. And I think game script had a lot to do with the fact that he never saw any targets. But he still had 100 yards and a touchdown. Now it was against Detroit. But I do think that as long as his ownership doesn't get out of control, I think at 5K, I think you could go there.
Okay. And my other question for you is $100 below that. Josh Jacobs has DNP'd yesterday and today. Kenyon Drake sits at 4,900 against Pittsburgh. I would assume Kenyon Drake would become the highest owned running back on the slate at 4,900 if Jacobs were to miss. Is this Mike Davis good chalk from last year, or is this Mike Davis bad chalk from last year, assuming Jacobs were to be out? It's a tough one because I don't know the answer. I have no input either way.
I think it's a terrible matchup because of the mm-hmm. how good this Pittsburgh defense is. But I think that
the pass game usage is going to be there. He's caught 6 balls last week for 60 yards, and that was against Baltimore.
The difference in that as well, though, is that if I remember correctly, Mike Davis, when that happened, he was 4K. I think he was minimum, right?
He was.
Or he's not minimum. Yep. He's 4,900,
and he still busted at min price.
Yeah,
which is why I get kind of hesitant because I could see, you know, Kenyon Drake approaching 30% ownership if Jacobs were to be out, and he would be the chalkiest play of the slate because people are going to see Drake's name, they're going to see number one running back, they're going to see that 4K that 4,000 salary starting. I know he's 4,900, but they're going to see the number 4 starting the salary number, and it's just going to subconsciously suck ownership to him. Because then they can play McCaffrey and they can play all these other guys that they want to play up top. I just don't know what I would do. I think part of me feels like he doesn't have the ceiling that I want, despite the volume that would be there. Because, like, I mean, he has to score a touchdown or two to burn me, right? Because he's not going to rush for 100 yards against Pittsburgh. Like, the only thing that's safe is his pass game involvement at that point. Like, I don't even know that he'd be the goal line back when they, like, when I, what tells me he would be the goal line back over Peyton Barber, just a legit bowling ball, Peyton Barber.
I think he would be the goal line back. I mean, he's proven that. I mean, he could definitely do that. He did that. That was his main role in Arizona last year. I mean, he pretty much had that role all to himself. I mean, he already played 40. I mean, even last week, you know, he played 47%. He had received 47% of the opportunities and played 48% of the snaps. I don't think Josh Jacobs is right. Like, Josh Jacobs continually went off the field. Something's going – I mean, he has – you know, that toe is not right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the smartest move would be to shut him down for, you know, a month or month and a half or whatever and just, you know, get him right. But I would venture – it's starting to look like he's not going to play. But if he's going to have 30, 35% ownership, no thanks. I'll be out on that. This is just a terrible matchup.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not good. I think he could see some, you know, some pass catching work, but much like that, like Josh Jacobs back when, you know, before they had Kenyon Drake, like he wasn't receiving all that much pass catching work either. And so I don't know. I mean, we know Darren Waller is going to get 72 targets. He is currently on pace for, I think, 300 targets this year after his 19 target performance he got on Monday Night Football, which is just insane for Darren Waller. But regardless of that, I just couldn't do it at that ownership. Like, and it's just a terrible matchup. I mean, if this was like a decent matchup, then I would have a little bit more interest. But man, this is about one of the worst matchups you possibly can get facing that Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah, and just looking at Pittsburgh's week one man versus zone split, they played about 70% zone, whereas Baltimore plays a ton of man coverage. So in man coverage, you're going to be, you know, you're more likely to get chunk receiving plays out of the backfield because it's running back manned up with a linebacker most of the time. Whereas in zone coverage, you know, it's you can have higher volume, but it's going to be a lot less explosive plays because the zone's going to keep everything in front of them. So he would need, you know, probably 8 to 10 targets to really burn me against Pittsburgh. And he would have to score 1 to 2 touchdowns to burn me as well. So, I mean, 5K isn't free. Like you still, and I think a common mistake that a lot of people make in DFS too is they see somebody as value because they're cheap, and they sacrifice ceiling because they're just trying to force in a cheap player on their team, and not realizing that to take down tournaments, you know, everybody kind of has to smash, regardless of what their price is. So, yeah, I think Kenyon Drake's going to end up popular, and I think I probably will not have any of him, assuming Jacobs sits.
Yeah. Lastly, before we jump over to wide receivers, what is your thoughts on Javonte Williams this week at 4,400? I mean, he had 14 carries last week playing Jacksonville. That Jacksonville defense is atrocious. And do you have any interest in that, or because of Melvin Gordon's involvement, you'd be out?
Well, they played the Giants last week. They got Jacksonville this week, and they still he still had a ton of volume in a close game with the Giants, who, you know, looks kind of good defending Antonio Gibson tonight. So again, I just don't know with their timeshare. I don't know what the ceiling would be for him. I'd almost rather. Nah, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I'm going to hold that in. I was going to say I would almost rather just play Mark Ingram for his 26 touches, but that I am not doing. I'm not doing that either. No, I'm trying to stay away from these timeshare guys if I can help it, especially because we have, like you said, Daryl Henderson didn't come off the field, 5,700. Najee Harris didn't come off the field, 6,300. You got Zeke right there at 6,200, which is crazy. Montgomery, 6,100. Like, I just think there's too many guys in that 6K range to flirt with these, you know, committee style backs in the mid fours.
I don't think I would either. I don't think the upside's there for him. I mean, it's possible that he could just smash and, you know, and they give him all the opportunities because he's got the hot hand or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they pretty much split carries straight or split touches straight down the middle. I think they each had 50%. And so, you know, it's just Melvin Gordon's day looks different because he busted off that 70-yard touchdown at the end, right? But overall, I just think that I would I just don't think I could do that even at that price. I do think Chase Edmonds, though, is interesting at his price tag, his involvement. He actually touched the ball. He was the clear-cut lead back last week, or the lead running back, you know, in that backfield in that game. So if you want to get a little bit of opportunity or a little bit of exposure to that game that's not the pass catchers, I do not mind Chase Edmonds at his price. And if you look at him last week, 56% of the snaps, 50% of the opportunities, 12 carries, 4 targets. He had 2 red zone touches last week. You know, 14.6 fantasy points or DK points, and that is with 0 touchdowns. And so there is some opportunity. I don't think he's going to be the goal line guy. I think that's going to be reserved for James Conner. But in a game that, you know, could be high scoring back and forth, I think Chase Edmonds, you know, carving himself out a bigger role as a pass catcher as well, more than just the 4 targets he had last week. So I do like James Conner a little bit, or James Conner, Chase Edmonds a little bit, especially at his price tag. We haven't talked much about Zeke at 6,200. Really quickly, because I feel like we didn't really talk about Austin Eckler either. Let's talk about Austin Eckler and Zeke in this game, right? Zeke at 6,200 feels ridiculously cheap, right? He's normally a guy that's in that high 7, 8K range. Are you playing him at 6,200?
Oh, absolutely. And it's kind of what I mentioned. Zeke and Eckler are elite pivots off of the pass game that's going to be heavily popular. And we saw this, and this is what I was talking about with our boy Derek. I got on the phone with him earlier today and just had a conversation, you know, just about DFS and, you know, the games this weekend and just, you know, building DFS lineups in general. And, you know, we were kind of looking back on this past weekend and just reviewing a little bit. And we were like, why were none of us on Adam Thielen at all when we, you know, we're seeing Dalvin Cook as this popular running back against a bad Cincinnati defense, and none of us want to play Thielen or Jefferson? Because, you know, anything can happen from the touchdown variance, and it's such a concentrated offense. You know, like if you're looking for leverage, Dalvin Cook is the obvious high-owned play. And if you're trying to pivot in that same game, because let's say you don't think Minnesota scores less than three touchdowns and you're fading Dalvin, well, you need somebody's going to score the points, right? And it's probably going to come from a concentrated group of guys. Why didn't we play Adam Thielen? So, you know, applying that same logic, if, you know, you're not on lineups, you're not playing Dak and Herbert and Keenan Allen and Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, there's going to be a lot of points scored in that Dallas and Chargers game, right? So why not play the guys who are going to get the goal line touches or can break big runs, explosive runs for long touchdowns? And I think that's Zeke and that's Eckler. You know, Eckler got, what did he get, 7 red zone rushes last week? I know he had 0 targets, but that's not going to be sustainable for the whole year. Like that's his bread and butter is catching passes. And I think that you see that change against Dallas, who just hasn't been able to defend that aspect. And, you know, maybe Micah Parsons helps that, but I think he's going to have to be involved with rushing the passer too, considering they have nobody to do that now. So yeah, long winded to say, yes, I like Zeke and I like Eckler a lot.
I agree as well. I think not having any of them, I think, is a mistake. Mm-hmm. So let's just go ahead and jump over to the wide receivers. We have DeAndre Hopkins at the top at 8K, Stephon Diggs at 7,700, DK Metcalf at 7,600, Calvin Ridley at 7,500, excuse me, Justin Jefferson 7,400, Tyler Lockett 7,200, Adam Thielen 7,100, Keenan Allen at 7K, which is a travesty, or not? It's ridiculous that he's only 7K. He should be much higher than that. AJ Brown at 6,900, Amari Cooper at 6,800, Debo Samuel is 6,700, coming off that monster performance he just came off of. Shout Chris out, Godwin Debo. At 6,600, Deontay Johnson 6,400, CeeDee Lamb 6,400. I can only imagine what his ownership is going to be at 6,400. Jarvis Landry, 6,300. Julio Jones, 6,300. Allen Robinson, 6,200. Mike Evans, 6,100. Mike Williams at 6,100. Cooper Kupp at 6K, which is – we'll talk about it. But – and then Antonio Brown at 6K. That wraps up, you know, that price, that tier. What are we doing at wide receiver this week? And why is Mike Williams – which I like Mike Williams this week – but at 6,100, I don't get. Like, it's like they moved everybody up and then just kind of left everybody. Like, let's just move Mike Williams up, and then we're just going to leave everybody else the same.
Yeah. It's tough to push the Mike Williams button in the group of wide receivers that he's in. But if you're game stacking and that game goes nuclear, I think Mike Williams will be a big part of why. This is, you know, kind of another topic me and Derek were kind of talking about. You know, this is figuring out this game, the Chargers-Cowboys game, pretty much hinges the slate, to be honest. And so, you know, Trevion Diggs is the only good corner that the Cowboys have. And you can, you know, you have to kind of try to pick and choose, you know, is Dallas going to use their number one corner on Keenan Allen just because he's their number one corner? Or are they going to try to match up player style, right? So last week, Diggs was on Mike Evans and shut him down because Diggs is a bigger, more physical corner, and he can match up with the bigger body guys better than he can the smaller guys. And that leaves, you know, the smaller corners to match up with the smaller guys. So do they put Diggs on Keenan Allen, or do they put Diggs with the big body Mike Williams? If they're putting him with Mike Williams, I don't want any Mike Williams, and I want to play Keenan Allen. If they're going to put him with Keenan Allen, I want to play both, because then that means Diggs is following Keenan Allen into the slot. And that's not really where he plays. So, and you push Jordan Lewis out to a spot that he's not comfortable if he's going to play outside. So it's a very interesting dynamic trying to figure out what Diggs is going to do. I do like all that to say, I do like Mike Williams, and he may be featured in another thing that I'll be doing this week or, something, but, I think wide receiver is similar to, you know, the running back position. There's a lot of guys in the 6K range that, I mean, Allen Robinson, 6,200 against the same Cincinnati defense that we just talked about with Adam Thielen crushing last week. And I think Montgomery could end up popular. So I think it's the same exact leverage play. And you can play any of these guys that, you know, we talked about the game stacks. So I don't want to hit on the obvious ones too much. I do want to get your thoughts on two situations, one being Denver with no Jerry Jeudy, because those guys are pretty cheap. Sutton played 80% of the snaps last week. He was targeted deep a few times on the few times that he was targeted. They're going to play a ton of man coverage, and that can be good for Sutton taking deep shots down the field. You've got Tim Patrick, who's going to probably move all around the formation, play some slot, play some outside. And then you got KJ Hamler, who's pretty cheap too, who's likely going to play mostly slot. So curious to hear your thoughts there. And then we're going to see how big your nuts are this week. Are you playing Brandon Ayuk at 5,500 now that there's quotes that he's fully back and he's ready to roll week two against Philly? You know, maybe they just said, you know, he's back to practice last week on Wednesday for the first time in a little bit. You know, we're playing Detroit. We don't necessarily need him. Let's have him out there as a decoy. And now that they're playing Philly week two, you know, let's get him more involved. He's had a week and a half to get his legs under him. He's going to be in better shape. He's going to be 0.00001% owned because people are not going to play him after last week. And he's 5,500 and has, what, a 30 to 35 point ceiling? I mean, the kid's legit.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with playing him. I think, especially
– I don't either.
I think you should be looking to play him because we know his ceiling is. And I think what – I think there's more of the story that we just don't know and we'll probably never find out to this situation. By his comments, his very pointed comments, it sounds like more that he was trying to teach him some sort of lesson more than anything, right? But it's easy to do that when you're playing Detroit, right? You can feel pretty comfortable because he was still active, right? And you felt like, okay, we're going to leave him active. We're not going to make him healthy scratch like Trey Sermon. I know there's been some rumblings about possibly missing a curfew or something like that, right? He was also dealing with an injury. But I think that this is going to be one that we look back next week and we're like, oh, that son of a bitch, Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
Look, this guy's going to go out and fucking dominate, you know, and everybody else sat him. And whether it's season long, whether it's DFS, nobody played him. Everybody stayed away from him. And he goes out and dominates. Right. And so because, you know, I mean, you can't do that against this defense or against this offense. Right. You can't feel comfortable that, oh, we're just going to win this game against Philly. Right. And in this matchup here. And so I definitely think he's in play. And so I think people should be looking to play him.
I'm so glad, dude. Nobody's going to play him after last week.
Well, and it's a good way to exploit just the, you know, the week one narratives that we get. The, oh, this guy's terrible, mm-hmm. and, you know, this, you know, and stuff like that. Like I don't care about last week and what happened. You know, like I do think that there was more just there's the team they were playing and just the way he's been talking. But now today he came out and said that, you know, it sounds like he's definitely going to be playing more. And if he's on the field, I definitely want some access to him because he is he's their best wide receiver they have.
Mm-hmm.
I like Debo Samuel a lot. That's not knocking Debo Samuel, but Brandon Ayuk is the real deal, and he's not going to get River Krokoff is not going to get snaps over him. Or I mean, I've seen people talk about like, oh, should I you know, in season long, should I pick up Trent Sherfield? Fuck no. Okay, Trent Sherfield is not a thing. Okay, it's Brandon Ayuk. All right, they're trying to teach the dude a lesson, and that's clearly what I think they were trying to do there, and so. When it comes to the wide receiver, so yes, I definitely think that you can play him. For me, I am definitely in on Keenan Allen. He's gonna be chalky. I know that, but at 7K, it's Keenan Allen. He's too cheap.
Just be different elsewhere. Yeah, be different elsewhere on your Keenan Allen teams.
Yeah, I mean the dude is an absolute baller. Mm-hmm. He is going to get all the opportunities. There's nobody on Dallas that I'm really all that concerned with. I think he's probably going to see, you know, I just don't care. I'm playing Keenan Allen at 7K. And I'm playing A.J. Brown at 6,900. Like, I don't understand that. I mean, it's not like A.J. Brown had a terrible week last week. I mean, I know the offense didn't look great. But at 40 or 6,900, he still had about 15 DK points. So he didn't bury you. He just didn't get what you were looking for, right? And so I like that. I think this is a game that I definitely think that I think this Tennessee offense – kind of turns it around a little bit. And so I like AJ Brown at 6,900. And then from there, you know, going out, I 100% agree. Allen Robinson should be in everybody's lineups at 6,200.
He won't be
against Cincinnati. you know, if you want to get this, you know, revenge narrative at that, you know, with Andy Dalton, right, getting to play his former team.
True.
And so,
shout out Ryan Williams.
Revenge. Yeah, if Ryan was on the show right now, that's exactly what he'd be saying. You know, I'm all about that life, right? And so I like Allen Robinson. I also like Mike Evans. Nobody's going to play Mike Evans either. Mike Evans didn't do damn thing last week. He's only 6,100. That is way too cheap for him. And so I like Mike Evans. Listen, the thing that I thought about all offseason about this offense is going to be every week you're going to have a guy who's going to get shadowed, and he's not going to get the opportunities, and he is going to phase out. Right? It's you have too many weapons. You have Mike Evans. You have Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Gronk. Right? You just have so many guys here. Every week, somebody is going to not get their opportunity. But this is a matchup against Atlanta that I want action on this game. Because this offense is going to absolutely obliterate Atlanta, okay? And so, while yes, I get it, you could say that they're going to run the ball and everything. It's not going to happen. They have to get there, right? They have to score those points. They have the highest implied point total on the week.
Yeah, and Brady is not at the point of his career where he wants to just turn around and hand the ball off when they're up by 10. Like, they will throw, and they will throw, and they will continue to throw until they're up by 35. Like, Brady is just – he's on a war path right now. And – like we saw him do it last year. Like, he will throw 4 to 5 touchdowns in a game that they win 38-3. He does not care.
Yes. And so I do want pieces to this game. And so I like Mike Evans. Nobody's going to play him. Everybody's going to play Godwin, who's 6,600. Or they're going to get to
why
AB.
Why is he 5,600?
6,600.
Oh, 66. I thought you said 56. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, no. We'd be having a different conversation if that was the case. No, he's 6,600. And Antonio Brown is 6K. People are going to play those guys. They're not going to play Mike Evans after the performance he just came off of where he scored 5.4. Give me that leverage off of him and give me at 6,100 where Mike Evans can go out and smash this week, right?
Yep.
And so I like him as a leverage play off some of these dudes, especially off of Mike Williams, who's 6,100. I still don't understand Cooper Kupp. I'm playing Cooper Kupp at 6K. I don't care about playing Indy. I don't care either. About their old ass corners that they have. Cooper Kupp is going to smash that price.
Yeah, he's their main guy.
Yeah.
Why is he 6K?
I assume it's probably because the Monday night game. I guess that's probably why.
True.
They didn't get to adjust
True.
It.
True.
But still, 6K, I'm all about that live. DJ Moore, we already talked. I talked about that a little bit with Sam Darnold, but 5,900 for DJ Moore. And the most encouraging thing for DJ Moore was because last year it was different, right? Because we all thought that he was going to be their slot guy and get those, you know, the short intermediate routes, and he was going to see a lot of targets because of it, but he wasn't. It was the complete opposite. It was Robbie Anderson that did that. Now, I know it's only 1 week, but DJ Moore back to the slot, getting a lot of slot, getting those, and not even necessarily the slot, but getting those short intermediate targets, which is what you want to see, right? He only had a, 10.0 yards per target, which was 32nd among all wide receivers. So he is getting a lot more of those short intermediate targets, which where he is going to come in clutch with his yards after the catch because he is a yak monster. But I like DJ Moore in this matchup. They are missing their number one corner and New Orleans as well. So I like DJ Moore, especially at 5,900. I can't get away from that. And then moving on from there, just a few other guys. You already hit on Brandon Ayuk. What are you doing with Devonta Smith? Do you feel good to play him at 5,400?
I'm playing him in game stacks with Jalen Hurts and then Ayuk or Debo and Kittle on the other side. Because I think if that game goes nuclear, Devonta Smith is a reason why. I don't think I'm going to end up with Devonta Smith as a one-off at 5,400 because I don't see – I just think if he's smashing, that game is nuclear, and I want that in a game stack. I don't think I'm going to have him by himself. So, yes, he's in play. Definitely in play for me. I just only running three teams will not have him likely – I will likely not have him by himself.
And then I guess let's just talk really quickly so we can move on about just some of the cheaper wide receivers. Is there anybody down, you know, in the 3 and 4K range that you have interest in? Because I know I look at like Marquez Callaway is not going to have any ownership because he didn't do anything last week, but they only threw the ball 20 times. He still ran a route on I think 18 of the 20 of the 20 passes. So I mean, he's still running routes, and so I'm not really concerned with him. But I like Marquez Callaway at 4,200. Nobody's going to play him, and so I do not mind going with him. I think that, you know, you talked about this Denver game. I do think KJ Hamler. There's been reports this week that he's actually going to be the guy who sees more opportunity over Tim Patrick. Where I think a lot of people thought it was going to be Tim Patrick last year because that's what Tim Patrick did last year. I still think they're all they're still going to be in three wide receiver sets and all that stuff. Yes, they're all going to be out there, but KJ Hamler is explosive, and
he dropped a wide open touchdown too. I don't know if you saw that highlight.
Yeah. So we'd be talking about something completely different here had he not caught that. Because he would have scored, what, about 20 fantasy points, 20 DK points
last
week?
That was like a 60-yard touchdown, I think, or 40 or 50. But yeah, it would have been another 12 points added on.
Yeah. And so KJ Hamler at 3,800, 100% in play. Yeah. You know, Bryan Edwards, like, crazy what happens when you, John Gruden, when you actually
throw him the ball.
Yes. Because because we were all talking in our chat, as that game was going on. And which, by the way, the ESPN 2, Peyton and Eli, I will never watch the regular broadcast ever again.
That was amazing.
The Eli and Peyton broadcast was absolutely amazing. And yeah,
for those of you who did not know that ESPN 2 had a broadcast on Monday Night Football, I guess it's because it's new this year. Peyton and Eli are doing a broadcast where they commentate on the game. They talk about, coverages and strategies and things like that. But the cool thing was they were bringing in other NFL players, like Ray Lewis was on there. They brought in Travis Kelce on for a little bit. And Travis Kelce didn't even know that he was playing the Baltimore Ravens next week. And he was sitting there talking about, we're got to go back to the building tomorrow and get ready for our opponent next week. I think we're flying out to the Chargers. And they're like, no, Travis, you're playing Baltimore, who's on Monday Night Football right now. And then they bring in Russell Wilson, too, to close out the game. So that was really, really cool. I highly, highly recommend checking that out next Monday night, especially because, they'll be analyzing Aaron Rodgers. So that'll be pretty cool.
Oh, for sure. 100%. But as that was going on, I had a lot of showdown teams and I had almost all Bryan Edwards on them. And like for the majority of the game, I'm just banging my head against the wall because I had I had a bunch of really good lineups, but Bryan Edwards. And then finally they decided to start throwing to Bryan Edwards. And then he had that touchdown was very close to a touchdown. Like, what was it? 6 inches away from being a touchdown. I digress. The biggest question for him is going to be though, are they going to actually, start to actually give him more of a consistent role in this offense after he proved what he can do? But at $3,700, I'm going to have a little bit of interest in Bryan Edwards at that price tag. And then I'm definitely, I've already talked about somebody like, Terrace Marshall. I like that as I like going back to him as well, because he actually was second on the team in targets last week with 6. And so in this game that I think that has a little bit of shootout upside, I don't think it's going to be like some, monster nuclear game, but I think we could see at least a decent total here from this game. And so I do like getting some Terrace Marshall as well. If I'm going to stack Sam Darnold, I'm probably going to do it with DJ Moore and Terrace Marshall.
Yeah, definitely agree. And I like the Edwards call too, especially you're on Ben Roethlisberger. So that's a very easy, cheap run back, where a lot of people, people aren't playing Ben, but if they are, they're likely running it back with Darren Waller, right? With Bryan Edwards for free, and you can kind of play whoever you want there. I don't mind that at all if that's the game you're wanting to stack up. And then just one other name I'll throw. I briefly mentioned him earlier when I was talking about Cousins, but KJ Osborne, 19% of the targets and 23% of the air yards, which the 19% target share is in line with Justin Jefferson's 19% and Adam Thielen's 23% from week one. So like I said, man, this new OC, he wants to throw the ball. He wants to throw it a lot. I mean, they were sixth in pass rate in neutral situations. And that's one score games. And that whole game was, that whole game was tight. It's not like they were trailing by a lot and just had to throw the ball a ton. And Cousins threw 49 times. So 3,100, for a guy who saw 9 targets last week and is going to get, somewhat close to 20% target share. I'm in. I had never heard of the guy until this past week and I'm in. So KJ Osborne, 3,100. He would be my bargain bin guy.
I like that as well. Like he definitely came out of nowhere. I mean, I'm like,
KJ Osborne.
KJ Osborne.
I thought it was Amir Smith Marset. I guess not. I guess we're going with KJ Osborne.
Is he related to Ozzy?
And so yeah, I don't mind that. Just a couple other dudes, and then we will move over to tight end. I forgot to mention Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney at 4,200. You know, in this game that I like targeting this game a little bit, getting some pieces from here. He played 100% of the snaps last week. He did play almost 30% in the slot as well. He did see 7 targets last week, so that is positive. And so I like Darnell Mooney. He's going to be on the field. They really don't have anybody else outside of him and Cole Kmet and Allen Robinson. So if you know you want to get a little bit of action on this game, I do like targeting Darnell Mooney at 4,200. And then I want to talk about a guy that I talked about him last night on our TFA show as well. And I think he's probably a better DFS play than he is actually a season-long play. As long as he plays, he is a little bit limited, but he's still getting in practice. But that's Anthony Schwartz going against Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He is only $3,300. And while he only logged 50% snap share, he did see 5 targets, 3 catches, 69 yards. I believe he also had they also used him in the running game as well. And so I kind of like him. I mean, he was 17th in fantasy points per route run last week. They showed that, you know, he's kind of the guy that they want to use. And I mean, if you would have played him last week, I mean, he had, you know, double digit DK points last week. You know, he was bare minimum, but the dude is, I mean, for a lot of people that maybe not know who Anthony Schwartz is, I mean, he is a absolute electric dude. I mean, his best comparable is Curtis Samuel. He ran a 4.27 at his pro day, which equates to 4.32, which is 99th percentile. He also has a 84th percentile speed score. And, you know, he was kind of a guy that people were kind of excited about drafting in the third round, you know. And I know we talked about Donovan Peoples-Jones, you know, last week, you know, if you're wanting to play. But even Donovan Peoples-Jones did play 80% of the snaps, but he only received 3% target share in that offense last week, while Anthony Schwartz received almost a 20% target share in this offense. So I like him at $3,300 against Houston. You know, I think you could see them take a couple deep shots to him if he can connect. Like, he takes one to the house. I mean, we're in business, you know. And so while, yes, I want to get a little bit of action on this Cleveland game, I just don't have any interest in playing a Jarvis Landry, you know, or anybody like that. And I'm not going to play Baker. And so if you want to get a little bit different and somebody that's cheap at $3,300 with Anthony Schwartz, like, I don't mind doing that.
Yeah, Schwartz is a burner. He can score from anywhere on the field. I mean, running a 4.3, that's fast. So, definitely. $3,300, a guy who's got – I mean, he's got a 20-point ceiling because, I mean, he can legit go for 100 yards on only a couple catches and score a long touchdown. And that's what you would need for a tournament. But I mean, that is in his range of outcomes against Houston. So yeah, I'm good with that.
All right. Well, yes. So while in the chat real quick, while Ayers Chase at 5K, yes, I think you could definitely play Jamar Chase at 5K. I think T Higgins is also in play. If you want to,
the Chicago secondary is awful.
Yeah.
The cornerbacks are terrible.
Yeah, so Jamar Chase at 5K, that's still too cheap for him. It was good to see him actually come out and explode. We heard all preseason of how bad this guy was. He couldn't catch. And you have to appreciate Joe Burrow coming out at their postgame press conference and making a snide little comment about, man, I thought that guy couldn't catch. You know, so that was good to see. And so, you know, if you look at the Cincinnati offense last week, they only threw the ball 27 times. But that was because they were kind of in that game and they were able to kind of and they had a lead for a lot of that game as well. And so, that, you know, they used Joe Burrow. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that every week. And I think you're going to see where they're going to throw the ball a lot more than 27 times. So I do like Jamar Chase at 5K and or T. Higgins for that matter. I think both of them are in play at their price tag. But unless you have anybody else, we could jump over to tight end.
Nope, I'm good to jump. And tight end's pretty straightforward for me too.
Yeah, I mean, you have Darren Waller at 7,600. I mean, the guy, which is probably actually a value compared to how many targets that he could possibly see, right? But he is going to be, I think he's going to carry the most ownership, rightfully so. He's coming off a game where he had 19 targets, which is, again, just ridiculous, especially for a tight end. But you have George Kittle at 6,400. Kyle Pitts, who moved up at 5,200. Gronk at 4,700. No fucking thank you. I will not fall into that trap. and Dallas Goedert at 4,600, which is interesting because we'll have to see what's going on with Zach Ertz because he got banged up in last week's game. So if he were to possibly miss this game, which he's gotten in some limited practices, so he could possibly, you know, trending towards playing. But if he does not play, I think Dallas Goedert at 4,600, I think is definitely would be in play. And then Noah Fant at 4,200, Hunter Henry's 4,300, Jonnu Smith 4,500. I don't know why I skipped over them. And then Tyler Higbee at 41 and Mike Gesicki at 4K. What are you doing at tight end?
Yep. So on my Hurts team, I will be running it back with Kittle on the other side because I think in a shootout game environment, Kittle can break the slate at that price. You know, he's got 30-point upside. And if that game shoots out, there's a very good chance that Kittle is a part of it. And then outside of that, I'm going to have nightmares thinking about this for the next three nights, but Tyler Higbee and Noah Fant are basically the same price and basically getting the same role in their respective offenses. And they're both in Fant's in a better matchup than Higbee is. But I mean, he pretty much didn't come off the field. We talk about getting guys at cheap roles, cheap prices that are going to have good roles, high volume roles where they're not going to come off the field. And Higbee is turning into one of those tight ends. And we didn't see him explode last week, but his usage, you know, they were actually designing plays for him. His usage, his snap share, all of that is very, very bullish to him having a very good rest of the season. So I kind of want to get on the Higbee train before it leaves the station. And, you know, I feel like he may go overlooked a little bit facing Indy, a defense that, you know, people don't necessarily want to always attack. It's really those three tight ends. And obviously you can play Darren Waller. I just don't know that I'm going to have the salary for it, considering I need to play those 6K running backs with Christian McCaffrey. And we talked about, you know, all the 6K wide receivers too. So I probably won't get to Waller this week, unfortunately, which they did a good job of pricing him up that high because 19 targets is absolutely ridiculous for a tight end. But yeah, it's those mainly those three for me, Kittle, Higbee, and Fant. Fant with no Judy against Jacksonville is a pretty obvious play.
No, I definitely agree. You know, they did use him as a blocker. I will say that quite a bit because he played 100% of the snaps. He only ran 21 routes, but regardless of that, which was 19th among all, but he did have a 23% target share, mm-hmm. which was fourth among all tight ends.
Right, which is so kind of what I meant by saying, you know, they were designing plays for him. It seemed like when he was running routes that he was the first read, you know, a good chunk of the time. And I guess that, you know, that I hadn't looked up his target share, but the 23% target share, or I'm sorry, I hadn't looked up his routes run, but the 23% target share tells me that, you know, that they're consciously making an effort to get him the ball when, you know, when they want to get him the ball, you know, and even if he's staying in and blocking on other snaps.
No, for sure. I mean, he was 80.8 route participation, but you know, his six targets was 10th and then 23% target share, but it wasn't even just that. I mean, he also saw an end zone target, which is encouraging. He was also third in yards after the catch as well. So, and fourth in yards per route run. So those are two metrics that I always look at, and you know, when it comes to any pass catchers. So mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to like here with the guy, especially a guy that's going to play 100% of the snaps. Like, I'm about that life because that's all we're really looking for, especially at tight end and especially at that price. And so while, yes, it's a little bit more – it's definitely the difficult more of the matchup, but I like Tyler Higbee this week quite a bit. I want to talk about a less obvious guy, you know, in terms of, you know, where people are going to be coming in on, and that's Adam Trautman at 3K. You know, he kind of was left for dead this past because of he got hurt over in preseason, and when while he was playing in preseason, you know, he wasn't really utilized all that much, so people really thought too much into it, and the people kind of left him for dead. I held strong, and I'm happy that I did, because while if you look at the box scores, if you just looked at their just common stats, you would say, well, but Juwan Johnson had two touchdowns last week. He should be the guy that we want. No, because he barely played and he barely ran any routes. I think he ran like four or five routes the entire game. He just happened to be the two were, you know, end zone targets, right? Mm-hmm. Where Adam Trautman played 60% of the snaps. He ran 14 routes on 14 pass routes, and they only threw the ball 20 times. He had a 30% target share. Again, they didn't throw very much, but still. 42% target rate, which is fifth among all tight ends, or fifth among all wideouts. And then, so I think there's some juice here with this play at 3K. And so I think that nobody's going to want to play him because he didn't do anything last week. He only had 4.8 DK points. But I think this is a game that they're going to have to throw the ball a lot more. They're not going to be able to throw the ball 20 times in this game. I can guarantee that. And so I like Adam Trautman. They still don't – I mean, it's him, Marquez Callaway, and I guess Deontay Harris, obviously Alvin Kamara. But, in terms of just their pass catchers, I think he's the guy right now. Him and Marquez Callaway still look to be the guys. And so nobody's going to play Adam Trautman, and I think that that's a mistake. And I like Adam Trautman this week at 3K.
I won't go there, but, you can – how about you go take – you go there, take some pictures, and send me a T-shirt and let me know how the rides were, and report back to Mission Control.
Hey, whenever he just smashes this week and has 20 DK points, I'm gonna be.
We're going to Disney World.
Yeah, and so other than that, I think Cole Kmet is definitely in play at 3,700. He's clearly the guy. I don't know why they still have Jimmy Graham on that offense, but Jimmy Graham didn't do shit. But I do like Cole Kmet at $3,700. And then I think Gerald Everett's another guy if you want to get action, as a part of a game stack. I think you could do that as well. So I do like that. Past that, do you have anybody else you want to talk about at tight end? I mean, I think there's some other guys, obviously, that are just kind of, if you're playing a game stack, like Jarwin, I think would be somebody. We talked about Jared Cook. I think he would also a guy that I would want to include in a game stack as well.
Absolutely.
Or I think you could play him by himself as well. I mean, he's only 3,900 as well, so he's still really cheap.
And Dallas plays a ton of zone, too, which is good for tight ends.
So other than that, I mean, if you don't have anybody else, let's just jump over to the defenses where you have the high-priced Rams at 4,500, Buccaneers, which is insane to me. No thanks. I'm not playing $4,500 for Rams. I ain't doing it.
No.
Can't make me. The Bucs were 4,100. Broncos are 3,800 against the Jags. The Patriots are $3,700. The 49ers are 3,600. I don't get why they're that pry up, but whatever. And then let's just go down, drop back down to the bottom where you have the Texans at 2K. You have the Falcons at 2,100, the Vikings at 2,100, the Titans at 2,200, the Jets at 2,200, the Jaguars at 2,300, the Cowboys at 2,400. What are we doing at defense? I'm just paying down. I am just going to see whoever fits in and we're going to go from there.
Yeah. I always pay down as well. Just from looking at, so what got us both on the Cardinals defense last week against Tennessee is, you're in lineups that you're not playing, Tannehill and such and stacking that game. That's a good game to get a defense from if you're fading it, because there's going to be a lot of pass attempts in that game. We were assuming there was going to be a lot of pass attempts in that game. And so we played the min price or $2,100 Cardinals and it ended up working out very well. Because, defenses get fantasy points when quarterbacks drop back to pass. So just thinking about that, it's the same, same principle on teams where you're not playing Minnesota, Arizona. I like the Vikings at 2,100 against Arizona. I mean, Arizona has shown that they're going to throw the ball a lot. And Kyler Murray, he can make some mistakes and turn the ball over occasionally. So he can do some wild things. Definitely like, Minnesota as a punt, complete punt defense. If I was paying up, I mean, I absolutely would pay, like if prices weren't a thing, I absolutely would pay $3,700 for the Patriots defense against Zach Wilson, because we know Bill Belichick does not allow rookie QBs to do anything in their rookie year. So by throwing, different coverages that they've never seen before at them and whatnot, which is why I love the idea of a Patriots defense, Damian Harris stack, if you can make it work. But 3,700 is a lot to ask. So yeah, I'm going to end up paying down. Is there anybody in the 2,500 to 3K range? Cause sometimes I find myself falling in that range for a defense. And I'm curious if you've got anybody there.
I mean, I think I think the Panthers make for an interesting play because you just know Jameis can get a little, you know, I don't give a fuck attitude, make some bad decisions, you know, take one to the house. So at $2,700, I think the Panthers, the Raiders, like I said, they were able to get a lot of pressure on Lamar Jackson on Monday Night Football because of that improved offensive line with Max Crosby and Ngakoue, who they added over the offseason, Carl Massive. So, I mean, they were able to kind of, you know, get a lot of pressure on him. So I don't mind that if you want to do that with Pittsburgh. You know, Big Ben is a statue back there. Their offensive line is terrible. And so, you know, if Ben makes mistakes, throws, you know, throw a couple of interceptions, maybe get some sacks, I don't really mind it. But other than that, I mean, that's kind of where I would come in. And you know, or the, I guess the Bears at 2,800 at home, but.
Yeah, Bears 2,800, Steelers 3K, and then the only other team that I saw that you hadn't mentioned is Eagles at 2,400 against San Francisco if you're not stacking that game. Because Jimmy G, he can make some mistakes too. He's not turnover free.
No, so. For sure. Well, do you have any other defenses, or we got to jump over and build this squad?
No, let's build this team and get the heck out of here.
All right, so as we do every week, we put together a lineup, build a team, you know, and we'll see how it does after everybody we've talked about. So why don't you kick us off? Where are we going with first?
I'm gonna set the tone this week. We're going with Kirk Cousins as our QB.
Well, then let's just lock in. I'm gonna go with Justin Jefferson.
All right, and we're gonna run it back with Hopkins on the other side. See, you can play Hopkins here despite him being popular because nobody's going to stack Minnesota. So you have a unique build.
All right, let's plug in to get a little bit of action on this game. I'm going to plug in Zeke at 6,200.
All right, and let's go ahead and just round out our Cousins stack with KJ Osborne.
All right, so we got 47.25 per position. We still have a running back, tight end, flex, and defense left to go. Ooh, I don't know if we'll be able to, I don't know if we could do it. I was going to see if we played McCaffrey at 9,900. That would only leave us 3K for a tight end flex and defense.
We can make it work. Just go Schwartz in the flex, I think, for now as a placeholder. And then let's play with some salary.
So let's just go like bare minimum or near bare minimum, I guess.
Yeah, so you need 3,700 is the highest tight end you can play. It's Komet against Cincy. I don't know that I'd want to play both Osborne and Schwartz, though, on the same team. It feels a little too thin.
Well, let's do this. I'm going to drop out of Chris McCaffrey because we just really have no other outs. And let's see. Well, fuck it. Let's just go with the other side of that game. Let's go with Alvin Kamara.
All right.
That should leave a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, we should be able to do a little bit better with that. I'll lock in. Let's go with a mini. I still want to kind of mini stack Dallas and the Chargers. Let's throw in Jared Cook.
I already had him in. Okay. Oh, 4,200. I can do something with this. I guess we go to Texans defense, but I don't know if I want to do that.
I like Vikings. Oh, wait, we're stacking that game, so never mind. I would say let's try to get to the Eagles D if we can. 2,400. Is there anybody 3,800 you like?
Oh, for sure. You know who you're talking to right now?
True.
Oh, KJ Hamler. We can go KJ Hamler at 3,800.
Yeah. Yeah, just do that. Easy game.
Or Brian Edwards at 3,700.
I vote Hamler. Since we can afford to be a little chalky since we have a pretty unique build here.
Okay. Well, we used the Hall 100%. We go Kirk Cousins, Zeke, Alvin Kamara, Justin Jefferson, DeAndre Hopkins, KJ Osborne, Jared Cook, KJ Hamler, and Eagles defense.
A lot of K's and J's in that lineup.
Hey, we're going to get paid. That's all I know.
K's and J's get you paid, baby.
That's so the anyways, theme. Yeah. So I think that pretty much wraps up week two. I think there's a lot of, a lot of stuff we talked about tonight. I think there's a lot of teams or a lot of games that you can stack, try to get a little bit different in. But other than that, you got anything else?
Nope. I'm ready for a better week two than what week one was. It was a little bit of a letdown, A lot of spots and teams that, you know, we were excited about. Tennessee and Green Bay being two of the main ones that kind of let us down. So looking for some bounce backs across the board in week two.
No, for sure. So anyways, I appreciate everybody checking out the show. If you're watching on YouTube live, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. If you're listening to this on podcast, be sure to leave us a rating and review. You can find us at DFS DJ Nation through your podcast stream. If you are watching on YouTube, just head over. You can listen to the pod, DFS DJ Nation pod. We are not under the Fantasy Authority stream. This is our own setup we have going here. I hope everybody wins a lot of money. For Maddie, you can find him on Twitter at MaddieDFS. You can slide into DMs or into our Discord. We have an absolutely free Discord with a DFS channel set up. You can find that link in the description. It's a good way to just come in. We can talk, we'll be talking DFS, especially probably Saturdays into Sunday morning, kind of talking about, you know, with some of the different things that are going to be coming up, you know, with injuries and everything else. We can talk about plays and everything else. Or if you just have any questions, I know Maddie was in there waxing poetically, just dropping nuggets on some of the guys last weekend, getting them ready. And I think they stole the lineup that he posted in there. That would be a good lineup for cash from him. But regardless of that, I'm Kevin Steele. You can find me on Twitter at FantasyRat13. We will see you in them DFS streets. But until next week,
we out.
You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Big man, I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. Be like a book on a shelf that you can be, boy. Yeah, that you can be, little man.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.